Well, good morning. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. I'm thankful to be here again this morning with you brothers and with you sisters. Happy Mother's Day to all the dear mothers out here today. Bless you. Thank you, Brother Noy, for those opening thoughts, those words of life. Thank you for the opening meditation there. Verse 5 tells us, and Peter there tells us that we're going to give account to him that's ready to judge. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. Thank you. And them are the reasons we gather here at church this morning is we're accountable to God. We're accountable to what we do in this body and in this life. Brother Allen shared about how amazing God's grace is. And if it's not amazing to us, it means we have a heart condition. And that's what I endeavor to share on this morning is the condition of the heart. And we all have a condition. We all have a heart. We all have a situation we came to church in this morning. We all have a heart condition. So what's the condition of my heart today? Is it conditioned for the things of God? The way we come to church this morning, it matters. It matters the way we come to hear the word of God or to participate in the worship service. I know the things we face in life, they condition our heart. They condition our Sunday morning services. So what is the condition of our heart this morning, I ask? And I know I asked myself that question. I know over the years I came to church with many different conditions on my heart. I came to church and I had many different situations that conditioned my heart for that service. And I know that I get the most out of my Sunday service and my Sunday worship service and my day gathering here with you brothers here. I get the most out of my day when my heart is soft, sensitive, tender to the Word of God, and I know for that to happen, I have to meet with God. I had to prepare my heart. This morning I had to seek God. I had to spend time in prayer. I had to seek wisdom for my life. So we just don't roll out of bed and end up at church in a condition where we're going to be able to just accept everything God has for us. There's a conditioning that needs to happen in our heart, and we're responsible for that conditioning. We're responsible for spending time in prayer and seeking the will of God with our life. So what's the condition of my heart today? Do I have peace in my heart? Do I have joy in my heart? Am I encouraged today in the Word of God? Am I encouraged today when I open the Word and I read through the Scriptures this morning? Am I encouraged with what God's telling me? Or is it a burden? Does it weigh us down? Does it let us know that we have to repent of things? One way or another this morning, we're going to give an account. We're going to stand before that judge that Noah was talking about in 1 Peter there. Because most people in the world this morning, they don't wake up looking for ways to violate God's Word. People don't naturally do that. Rather, they end up falling into sin because they didn't prepare their heart to seek God's will. They didn't necessarily, when people fall into sin, they don't necessarily go looking for it. It happens because they weren't seeking the will of God for their life. Maybe we have a situation that we face in life. Maybe we have this, we could call it besetting sin that we struggle with. Or maybe it's a way we respond. Maybe it's the way we treat somebody. And maybe it convicts us every time it happens. Maybe that weighs heavy on our heart. Maybe that thing is always on our mind. You know, we serve an all-knowing God, and He knows that. And He wants us to make that situation a matter of prayer. He wants us to come to Him and to make it a matter of prayer in our life. He's an all-knowing God. He knows when this situation is going to happen. He knows when we're going to face this trial that we're talking about. And if we make it a matter of prayer, I had to do that in my life. I had to do that. I asked God. There's responses that come out at times that you regret. We can ask God to please bring that. Give me that opportunity. Bring that to the forefront of my mind. That way I have an opportunity to make a decision about this before it happens. And he's a faithful God. He'll do that. He wants to do that for us. You know, if we condition our heart that way, if we condition our heart, it'll be sensitive. And it'll be soft. And God will hear it. God will hear us. And if we don't, and if we don't take these needs to God, we're probably not going to make it in life. We're probably going to struggle in that area in life. We're probably not going to make it in a Christian life, I should say. Probably not going to make it very well if we continue to have these failures and struggles that we never overcome in life. You know, the Bible describes the seat of the heart as the seat of our inner being, our emotions, our thoughts, our spiritual life. And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep that heart with all diligence, for out of the heart come the issues of life." You know, that's why we need a heart conditioned towards God this morning, because the issues we face in life, they come from the heart. They come from the inner beings. Without it this morning, our heart is naturally inclined towards wickedness, naturally inclined to do wrong, naturally inclined to go the wrong way. So what if I told you this morning that I have a heart condition? What if I said that? My mom had one. My dad had one. My dad passed on from a heart attack. The truth of the matter is I do have a heart condition. We all have a heart condition this morning, and you have one also. Our heart condition this morning is going to depend on the things that we allow into our heart. It's going to depend on the things that we allow into our life. They're going to form our thoughts. They're going to form our attitudes. It's going to end up shaping the deepest part of our being this morning. And our being is going to be shaped depending on the condition of our heart. It's an amazing thing to think about for me. You know, maybe we're walking through life and we think that we got a lot of things figured out in life. Maybe we think we have this thing. Maybe we're doing very well financially. Maybe we're doing very well just in our business or whatever. And maybe we allow pride to come into our heart. Maybe we think we got things figured out. And at a time like this, I think it'd be good. Maybe we allowed a lot of pride in our life. When that's the situation, that means we allowed pride into our life. And at times, I just think, when we allow ourselves to come to that place, I think it would do ourselves some good just to think who we really are. To take a moment and imagine ourselves standing before the judgment seat of God. Noah shared about that we're going to stand there. He's going to judge us. And that should humble us this morning to no end, to come into the presence of God and to be judged by Him, and to just to meditate on what it would be like standing before God. What it would be like just standing there and the God of heaven is sitting on His throne and we're in that room. You know, the morning my dad passed away, my wife called me. I was at the shop. I remember it like yesterday. I was getting ready to come over to Brother Laverne's to pour some concrete, and she called me and said she got a text on the family chat, that on the text message chat, that they think Dad passed away. So I ran over to my dad's house, and I ran into the house, and he was laying on the floor. His life evaded him. And he was laying there, and it was 5 or 10 minutes before he was having a conversation with my sister. And from that second on, standing before the judgment seat of God, it was an astounding thing to think about. I was sitting there thinking about my dad standing there giving account for the things done in this body. And that'll make you humble. That should make us very humble. That should make us humble when we think of that. You know, Apostle John went in the presence of God. What did John hear? What did John hear when he went? It speaks about it in Revelations. It said he heard a voice as a trumpet, and he fell as dead. Well, he fell on his face as dead. And when I see that, and I put myself in that situation, I think about the way Apostle John came into the presence of God. That should humble us. He fell as dead, and he walked with Jesus, and he knew all about these things. And I'm sure we're going to have memories, and I'm sure everything we did in this life is going to pass before our eyes. And I know one of the only things that's going to matter in that moment is the condition of our heart. If our heart was conditioned for the things of God or not. So what's the condition of our heart today? Or should I ask, what do we think the condition of her heart is? Do we think we're doing well? Are we judging ourselves this morning according to the Word of God, or are we judging ourselves according to men? How do we look at our neighbors this morning? How do we look at our church brothers? How do we judge them? What for thoughts are we having of them this morning? Proverbs 23:7 says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's a sobering thing to think of. So if we think negative things towards your brother, God counts those thoughts towards us. God's going to hold us accountable for the evil thoughts we think of our brother. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord said to Samuel, look not upon his countenance, nor his height, nor his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And this is where God's rejecting Saul, and he's telling Samuel to go anoint David. You know, God, the God of heaven, he searches the earth for men to have hearts after him. He's seen David, the shepherd boy, out there in the hillsides, taking care of his father's sheep, being a shepherd over all them sheep. He's seen him spend many hours out there, and I imagine that when David was out there, that he was gazing into the heavens. He was gazing into the skies, and he was meditating, and he was thinking on the things of God. And God seen that he had David's heart. He seen that David had a heart that was after him. He seen that David's heart was conditioned after the things of God. Man looketh on the outside, but God looketh on the heart. God sees this morning. He sees our condition. He sees the condition of our heart the same way he's seen the condition of David's heart. And when he looks at us this morning, what does he see? What does he see in her heart this morning? Is it conditioned for the things of God? Or is it conditioned after other things? When God looks at man this morning, he doesn't look at her skin color. He doesn't look if we're poor or if we're rich. He doesn't look at our status or our situation or our position. What does God look on when he looks at a man this morning? He looks at the purity of the heart. He looks if we have a pure heart or not. We don't have to have everything figured out in life, but we have to have a pure heart. We have to have a heart that loves our brother this morning. We have to have a heart that cares for our brotherhood. We have to have a heart that loves our brotherhood this morning. God looks for that. God looks at if we have a heart that loves the Christian people this morning. Jesus spoke about a pure heart. A pure heart this morning is doing what God wants it to do. From a pure heart, because from our heart comes the issues of life. A pure heart this morning is motivated right. Our desires are right, has right goes. And if our heart ain't right this morning, our actions won't be right. For out of a heart that's not right this morning comes jealousy, pride, foolish living. The scriptures warn us this morning, a heart that's not right, out comes evil communication. And evil communication will corrupt the mind. It'll condition the heart the wrong way. It'll harden the heart. The Bible says this morning that God looks up on the heart. And when he looks up on the heart, he's looking to see what's on the inside. He wants to know what's going on in our life. When he looks up at the heart this morning, he sees our thoughts. He sees the motives. He sees the intents of our heart. He wants to see if our heart's right with him. When he's looking up on the heart, he's checking to see if we got a right heart or not. And if not, he wants to make it right. That's the question God wants to ask us today. Is our heart right with him or not? Is our heart right with God? And if it's not, we need to allow our heart to be made right with God. The Bible talks about the condition of a person's heart in Proverbs 6:18. The Bible tells us that our heart is full of evil imagination. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If we're not right with God this morning, that's the condition of our heart. If we got sin in our life this morning, or if we've never been born again, our heart is deceitful and we're on the outside of Christ. It's an amazing thing to think about this morning, that our heart is deceitful, that we can have a heart that's bent the wrong way. And Matthew 15:8 says, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do we ever feel that way? Did we ever get in a situation where we feel that our heart is far from God? Did we ever feel that God was not very near to us? I have. I've experienced that, where I wondered, where is God in this situation? Now, we're many, many of us here, not as many as we should be or could be, But we're many here this morning. And we can think of it. We're here singing songs this morning. We're drawing nigh to God with our mouth. But there's that chance that we're honoring God with our lips. But at the same time, our heart can be far from God. We know that this morning, that we can be worshiping with our lips, and our heart can be far from the things God wants going on in our minds. You know, we can be thinking about all kinds of things, and we can be caught up with our real self, and we can be thinking of the things of the world. We can be thinking about last week. We can be thinking about next week. You know, God, I'm talking about a lot about worship here at church this morning, and that's where we're at. But God's not just thinking about our worship here at church this morning. He wants to have private time with us. He wants us to worship at home in our closets, in our quiet place. And I'm sure we spent much time at home reading our Bibles, but there is that chance that we spend more time reading other material than the Bible. And I just wonder, how does God look at that this morning? What does God think about that? Or maybe we spent more time talking about prayer time than actually praying. Or maybe we talk more about going to the prayer meetings than actually going to the prayer meetings. Maybe God thinks at times that we don't have time for Him. And maybe that's true. Maybe our heart's far from God this morning. Maybe our heart's not where God wants it to be. God's Word tells us that we can draw nigh to Him today. The Bible tells us in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart. Drawing near to God this morning, it's our own decision. It needs to be an intentional decision. It's a promise in the Bible this morning that He will draw near to those that draw near to Him. That's a blessed thought this morning. If we ever feel that God's far from our heart, we need to draw nigh to Him. It's a beautiful promise that if we take a couple steps towards God, He promises that He'll draw near to us. It's a beautiful thing to think about. We can find ourselves maybe in a situation that we don't want to be, and all we got to do is draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to us. It takes an intentional effort this morning, because we naturally drift away from the things of God. You know, the Bible tells us this morning that the heart can be dark. And Romans 1:21 says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. The Bible teaches us that the heart gets dark when we allow our spiritual life to be blinded by the cares of the world. When we take up too much responsibility and we get too busy and we're blinded by the cares of the world, our heart can become darkened. Or our heart can be blinded also this morning by unthankfulness. And I think that's a big one this morning. I think that we can be very unthankful with the situations in life. And it's amazing this morning how many different situations that we can find our heart in. Contentious heart, strifeful heart, an unthankful heart. An unthankful heart this morning, it allows discontentment in our life. It allows jealousy, blindness. It allows evil thinking. An unthankful heart this morning focuses on what is missing rather than what has been given. It transforms the gifts that God gives us into complaints. We would never do that, right? It causes discontentment, ungratefulness. People end up complaining for the very things that they once prayed for. An unthankful heart leads to jealousy, envy, greed. It destroys trust among brothers. It makes brothers pull away from other brothers. An unthankful heart this morning is conditioned the wrong way. We can condition our heart the wrong way, and we can condition it the right way. So are we thankful this morning, or are we unthankful? Are we thankful for the many situations that God brings our way? Are we thankful for our church situation this morning? Or do we complain about it? Are we complaining about the very thing that God brought our way that we prayed for many years? I know I prayed for a situation. I prayed for my church situation. When I was leaving the Amish, I prayed for years that God would help me. I looked at my children and I looked at what do I want for my future? And God answered many prayers. God pulled me along for many years. Do I get wore out at times and get tired? Am I still praying? There's plenty of room in the prayer meeting, in the prayer rooms. There's plenty of room to continue to pray for the things that God wants to give us. Romans 1:21 says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. If we don't seek after God this morning, our heart will become darkened. We'll naturally draw away from God. You know, the problem here, Paul's not just talking about the world here. He's talking about the professing Christians. He makes it clear when he says they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God. We know God this morning. We know all about Him. Are we glorifying God for who He is this morning? Are we worshiping the God of heaven today? Brother Allen shared many messages on worship. Just because we're here at church singing, worshiping, or in a worship service, our heart can be far from God. You know, the problem's not that we lack knowledge about these things this morning. I know that. We heard a lot of messages. We went to a lot of meetings. We heard many things. The problem is we don't always act on the knowledge that we get. We don't always act on the knowledge that we have. And if we don't act on the things that we already know, more knowledge ain't going to help us anything. More knowledge won't help us. We need to act on the knowledge that God give us already. And this is an area that we can't stay neutral on. I believe from the bottom of my heart, we need to act on the things God shows us. We can't stay neutral, or I believe we don't grow in our Christian life. When we pull back in these spiritual areas of life, when we pull back from the plow, and we let someone else take over and let them push the plow for a while, that brother will never please us. We'll never be thankful for how he's pushing the plow, because they'll never be able to do it right. When that happens, we're going to refuse to glorify God, and we won't give thanks, and our heart will become dark. Why are we thankful sometimes? Why are we unthankful sometimes? When we receive from God the daily blessings, when we receive our everyday blessings from God, as we don't even much as have to give a thought about if the chickens laid eggs this morning, or if we have pork in the freezer for lunch or for breakfast. These things, we became so accustomed to having this that we can become unthankful for the food that we have. And I'm talking about me. We become accustomed, because in other countries this morning, it's not that way. They don't have food abundant. They don't have extra food. Are we thankful this morning for God's mercy that was new to us today? Are we thankful for the life and breath? Are we thankful for health this morning? If we got good health, are we thankful for that? There's many people struggling with their health. One of my wife's friends, she called Sue and them the other day, and she wants them to come visit. She's all the way down to 100 pounds. She don't know what's wrong. She's sick. Are we thankful this morning that we feel good? I went through a time of sickness in my life, and I remember when I came out of that sickness, oh, how I rejoiced every day to have a clear head and a clear mind, the fog gone. But as life goes on, you get accustomed to these things that God gives us. Our health comes from God. Everything you have this morning comes from God. We have a chance. Are we thankful about our morning devotions? Are we thankful for that this morning? I think about that. Are we thankful that we get the opportunity to meet with God in the morning time, in the early morning hours? There's people that will go to great length to stand outside these arenas to look at and worship idols that walk in. They'll sit there for hours and days. We got the opportunity to meet with the God of heaven. We get the opportunity to walk out of our bedrooms into the living room and sit down on a chair and meet with God. You know, what would it look like if God was actually sitting there in a form? It's the same thing. If we have faith in God this morning, He'll hear us. He'll listen to us. And He'll answer us. And we get to ask God to help us through the day. It's an amazing thing to think about this morning. Numerous times, when I had a big day, I asked God to help me. And there was times where I got to the job and I wondered where God was. Everything that could have went wrong, went wrong. And I didn't see the big picture until after the whole day was done of what God was trying to do. I went to Ohio 2 weeks ago to do had a big concrete pour. And on the way there, I remember I was praying that God would help me. It was a big pour. I had 35 trucks of concrete on send. And I got there, and the concrete trucks started pulling in. And everything that could have went wrong, went wrong. The pumper guys, they had to move the pumps. So we started dumping out the concrete, and the guy with the laser screed could not get the laser started. He could not get the laser to connect with the satellite. And we were just, I had 15 trucks there, and this went on for like an hour and a half. He couldn't get the laser started. And I was, multiple times I went to the truck and I prayed, God, help me through this situation. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't see it. So I canceled the rest of the concrete. I put it on hold until I had figured out what was going to happen. He finally got the machine working, and I told the guys, we're not going to put no more trucks down. We're not going to order no more concrete until we get this down, because I want to see what happens to this concrete. It was pretty hot. It was getting hard fast. And when we got all the way up there to the gas pumps, where it was almost out of the 15 trucks, the superintendent came out there and stopped us. He said, we have to stop. He said, these pumps are way too high. It's not going to work like this. And we need to take this concrete out back to here. It wasn't our fault, but God was helping. God was looking out for me. Had I not canceled the trucks, I would have probably had another 10 trucks that were sitting there that would have had to go back, because we had to stop there because the pumps were, we knew they were high. We told the guys a couple times that they were too high, but they wanted us to try to get the water to go around it anyway instead of move the pumps down. And then the superintendent called it off. He said, there's no way we can make that work. And I couldn't see what God was trying to do. And after that, it just blessed me. Even though the concrete, a lot of it we had to take out, it wasn't our fault. We wasn't responsible. But it blessed me to see how God was trying to answer my prayer that morning. And yeah. So one of the greatest stumbling blocks that we see in our Christian life? We may think that one of the greatest stumbling blocks in the kingdom of God this morning, we may think it's murder. We may think it's drunkenness. Maybe we think it's adultery. And they're all stumbling blocks. But what about pride this morning? What about pride? I believe more people stay out of the kingdom of God this morning because they're proud than any other reason. Because men don't like to humble themselves. Men don't like to say they're wrong. They don't like to take the low road. You know, if we can't humble ourselves this morning, we'll never be able to come to the cross for repentance. We'll never be able to say sorry. We'll never be able to apologize to God. If we can't admit that we're wrong, if we have pride in our life, we'll never admit that we're wrong. That'll stop us. Or we can have false humility sometimes and do that, but not from a true heart standpoint. When we look at it this way, if we just come to, you know, we're all made of the same stuff. We all have some of the same failures that we have in life. We all have these same things that we need to apologize for. If we could just see that at times, that if we could just see that, you know, we hate to repent to a brother. We hate to make ourselves look bad, maybe. But if we have pride in our heart, God can't hear us. God won't hear our prayers. Pride makes a rebellious heart. In Jeremiah 5:23, it says that the people had a rebellious and a revolting heart. God's word does many different things. God's word does different things to each works in each person differently. The Bible teaches us this morning that the heart can be hardened. The same sun that dries the ground and hardens the clay melts the butter and melts ice. That same sun does different things. The same gospel this morning softens hearts until it repents. And that same gospel will harden other hearts where they can't repent. Pharaoh, God hardened his heart, where he couldn't do the things that he really wanted to do, I don't believe. I had a neighbor that lived around the corner from me. Before I was going to move, this young man left the Amish quite a few years ago also, not for a church reason, but because of rebellion. He left the Amish, and he's living around the corner. I stopped by to talk to him a couple days before I moved. His heart was so hard. His heart was, so hard that there was... Yeah, he told me that he does exactly what he wants to do. He's not going to take advice from nobody. And his heart was hard, where I don't know that God would have to do a mighty work before he'd be able to repent in his heart. It's possible this morning for us to harden our heart by delaying repentance or asking for forgiveness for something we've done. Our heart can get so hard that we no longer hear from God when He speaks. You know, when God speaks to us, it's important we respond. I believe there's times maybe I don't know about all you guys, but there's times I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't sleep. I believe God wants to speak to me. I believe God got something He wants to share with me. And if we have faith this morning, we have faith in God, we can go open the Word, or we can listen to a message, and we can have faith that God wants to speak to us. And there's many times that I listen to a message and I can feel where God wanted me to hear from that message. You know, why would we not listen this morning? Why would we not listen to God? He knows our heart anyway. In Psalms 44, it says, "Shall not God search out the heart? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. For shall God not search this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart." If we can't sleep at nights, it's probably because God knows there's things that He wants to make right. He knows all secrets. You know, we don't hide things from God. We may be able to hide them from the brotherhood here, but God knows every single thing that goes on in our heart. He knows every little area that we need to make things right in, or apologize, or be more tenderhearted. You think about it this morning. The Bible says that God searches the heart. That's an astounding thought to think that the great God of heaven searches my heart. And He knows everything that's going on in my heart. We can condition our heart this morning in a way where it's easy to repent. It's easy to say sorry, but it has to be a soft heart. When God searches my heart this morning, what does He see? He's in there searching, probing around and looking. Jeremiah 17 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart." The Bible says that God ponders the heart this morning. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Proverbs 21:2. We can rationalize the way we live. We can rationalize it away. We can make all kinds of justifications on the things we do in life. We may think that we're doing pretty well, but the Bible says that God doesn't take our evaluation and our judgments. The Bible says that God ponders the heart. He meditates on it. He evaluates it. He looks into it. He sees the things that we have in there. The Bible says this morning that God weighs the heart. It says that He weighs the heart. Does our heart weigh enough this morning? Is it overflowing with joy? Is it overflowing with the things of God? Does our heart weigh enough today? I'm not talking about a heavy heart. Sometimes we have a heavy heart. And sometimes it's good to have a heavy heart because it'll make us seek God. He's going to weigh our spiritual life this morning in comparison to the commandments of God. And when He does, we're not going to weigh enough. We're not going to weigh up. The Bible says that we have all broken God's commandment. What does this do to our conscience this morning? What does this do to our conscience when we disobey God's commandment? It should wake us up in the middle of the night. That should wake us up. When we convict the conscience, when the conscience is convicted, we should get out of bed and we should make things right. What about the times we reject the conscience of God or reject the voice of God? What happens to our heart when we do that? What happens to our heart when we reject God? It gets hard. We harden the heart. We're all going to be weighed by the life of God, by the life of Christ this morning. And when we're weighed by that life, we're not going to weigh enough. We're not going to add up. Because Romans 3:23 says that we all come short of the glory of God. We were all sinners one time in the sight of God. And I was. Young men, young ladies, this morning, I was a sinner in the sight of God. And we all were. I know the youth maybe did not face maybe a lot of the things I did, but we all come short of the glory of God. We're not going to weigh up without Christ. I'm thankful this morning that I had a mom that prayed for me. I had a mom that was a preacher of righteousness and of hellfire. She preached hellfire to us boys. All of us can testify that she scared us with the terrors of hell. The Bible says, "With the terrors of hell, persuade men." She did that. I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that I was going to miss heaven. She'd tell me how I would have my bad days, and she'd tell me how I'm going to be if I miss heaven. How I'm going to be pleading for that one drop of water like the rich man, and But I pushed it all aside, and I went my own rebellious way for many years. I was banking on the thief on the cross experience. I knew that I wanted to go my own way, and I was banking on that experience that if I got killed, hopefully I had that split second to repent and to say sorry and make things right, and I'd still get to go to heaven. But God showed me one day that, Melvin, I'll never allow this to happen. If you're living your life and you're banking, if you're swinging out across eternity on a little horsehair, I would never let it happen. And I don't believe God allows it. I do believe on the thief of the cross experience. I believe people get right at the end of their life. I do. But we can't live our life banking on that. I was going down the road. It was in 2005. I was in the midst of a terrible situation in my life. And I was speeding down Notstein Road. And I passed a cop going the other way. And I looked in the mirror. I knew he was going to turn around and get me. And I seen right when his brake lights came on, I hit a railroad tracks, and I was looking in the mirror, and I went airborne. I hit a big telephone pole, and I broke my neck, and I went into the windshield. I don't know if I went through, but I forgot to repent. I never had an opportunity. I almost bled to death right there. I lost so much blood that my socks were soaked in blood, and I remember I was flashing in and out of consciousness, and I remember waking up a couple days later. I was in the hospital. I didn't wake up a couple days later. I was in the hospital, and a couple days later, I remembered. God brought it to my forefront that, Melvin, you never repented. If you'd have died, you would have never had the opportunity. And that startled me, because I would have missed heaven. And I'd have been in hell ever since 2005 at this point. And I'd just be getting started. A little ways back, I talked about breaking the law of God. When we did that, we deserved death, according to the Bible. According to the Bible, we deserve judgment. You know, in third world countries this morning, they still live that way. In Iran and in Saudi Arabia, they still live that way. They reject the law. They're put to death. They're still being put to death because they reject the law, or because they've broken the law, I should say. They reject the New Testament. They reject Jesus. They just hung three people in Iran because they broke the law by protesting on the street. They reject Jesus and the blood that was shed for their sins, for the sins of mankind. We can do that today. We can reject the blood. We can still reject the blood of Jesus this morning for the forgiveness of sins because we don't come to him in repentance. Women in Iran that show too much hair in the front of their head, they get put to death with judgment. I talked about the conscience bothering us. Can you imagine the conscience of the man that applies the death sentence in Iran? Can you imagine the conscience? I would say that it probably got hardened if he continues to do it. But at one time, his conscience had to bother him. God had to be telling him that this was wrong to do this. The Bible talks about the heart of Jesus this morning. And we're to have that kind of heart. The Bible talks about the shedding of the blood of Jesus this morning, all the way through the New Testament. What does that mean for us today? The heart of Christ. And the heart of Christ was compassion. It was love. The heart of Christ, it bled for our sinful hearts. Jesus' heart was pure, perfect, loving, tender, glorious, compassionate. It bled for our heart this morning. It bled for our heart to condition it, to condition our heart for eternity. You know, when they put them spikes in his hands, they put that spear in his side, his heart bled them drops of blood for each one of us. It's an amazing thought that there was plenty of blood shed on the cross that day for the sins of every man here and every lady here. God says that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins in Hebrews 9:22. Without the death of Christ, there would be no forgiveness of sin. Because we broke God's commandment this morning, on the outside of Christ, we deserve death according to the law. So we don't want to live by the law, right? We always say that we're free from the law. On the outside of that law this morning, we deserve death. But Jesus went to the cross for us this morning, and the way was prepared for us. Jesus died on that cross, not only did it forgive our sins, but it conditioned the hearts of men. When we hear this story, when we hear the story on communion, or we hear the story of how Jesus went to the cross and how he died, how they scorned him, They hung him on the cross and they put the spikes in his hands. This should soften her heart. This should soften her heart. This should condition her heart. It does mine. When we hear this story, well, I used to hear it when we went to the Amish church, how they, big church, how they had the communion service. Those things should soften her heart. God was bent toward us. He wanted us to be saved. In Romans 5, it says, "For God so loved the world that his love..." In Romans 5 says, "But God commanded his love toward us while we're still sinners. Christ died for us." You know, I don't understand all the depths of this. I don't understand the depths of all these verses. Him who knew no sin became sin. I don't understand this morning the shedding of the blood, how it pleased God that this Son shed the blood for the sins of mankind. You know, somehow, this verse here that says, "Somehow God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He bled and his heart was broken for us." This should break our heart this morning. This should condition our heart for eternity. And I believe this morning when we lose the wonder of this, and this quits working in our heart, and this quits, when this stops convicting our heart, the story of Jesus, our heart's going to be hardened. The Bible says that God prepares the heart of man by the Holy Spirit. This can only happen if we allow it. In Proverbs 16:1 says, "The preparation of the heart of man is from the Lord." And we have to allow it. We have a say in it this morning if we allow God to work in our heart. He'll only do what we allow him to do. The Bible gives us this beautiful promise this morning. It gives us many beautiful promises. But the one promise he gives us that is amazing. It says that he'll give us a new heart. That God wants to give us a new heart this morning. If we don't have one, we can come to Christ and we can get that new heart. But we need to want that heart. We need to want that new heart. If our old heart is bad, if our old heart is hard, and we want a new one, the good news is that Jesus wants to give us one. He wants us to have that new heart. And we need to repent, and we need to ask for that new heart. Do we find it hard to love this morning? This is the way we can gauge ourselves if we need a new heart or not today. If we find it hard to love this morning, we may need a new heart. We need to love one another. Not only does the Bible say this morning that we need to love our brothers at church, it goes further, and it says we need to love our enemies. This job in Ohio, these people with the gas pumps, they were pretty rough people all week, and they demanded people around, and they demanded this, and they demanded that, and they were not very loving people. And they were pretty humbled when they realized the gas tanks were too high. And one of the guys told me there, one of the other foremen told me, "You're going to love to hear this. This is their fault." And I told my nephews, "No, we don't love that. We don't want these guys to lose a lot of money, because there was a lot of money that someone was going to lose that couldn't afford to lose it." And so their heart needs to love them. We need to love these guys. Even though they mistreated us, even though they made us move them pumpers and we had a horrendous situation, we need to love them, because God's looking how we treat people. He's looking how we treat these people, because We need to back charge. The gas station people told us we need to back charge these people, and they're going to take it out of their pay. And I told my nephews, we need to be as fair with these guys as we can, because God's watching. God wants that to be in our heart. God says that I'll take your new heart out and I'll put a new one in. The old heart's not going to do. The old heart will not do. God wants to give us a completely new one. He doesn't just want to patch up our old heart. The Bible says, clean in. If we come to him, he'll create in me a clean heart, O God. He'll renew a right spirit within us. You know that old heart we had, used to have, that one that was so full of contention and strife? It was easy to argue. Had I still had that old heart when I was over there with those guys, we would have had some pretty good arguments. God doesn't want that. God wants us to have a new heart. He wants us to be a light and a shining light for him. If we have that new heart today, it's already conditioned for the things of God. That's an amazing thing. That new heart comes with the Spirit of God in it. In Ezekiel, the Bible says, "A new heart also I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, I'll take the stony heart out, the stony heart of flesh out, and I'll give you a new one. If we seek the things of God today, He will condition our heart. Not just for today, but for all eternity. He'll condition that heart. It'll give us new direction in life. It'll change our moral life. That new heart will change our affections. It'll change our passions. It's called a regenerated heart. God gives us new direction, new thoughts, new energies, new ambitions. Going to the men's meeting, it's going to be exciting. That new heart will be excited about tent meetings, men's meetings, Bible schools. God will give us that heart conditioned that way, after the things of God. Do you want that new heart today? It's already conditioned for the things of God. And God wants to give us that if we don't have it, young men. God wants to give us that new heart. We may have to repent. Our heart may become cloudy. Maybe there are things in our heart that we need to get out. I can come to church every Sunday, and I can have that heart so full of contention and strife. A heart conditioned for God this morning is joyful, loving, peaceful, pure. We can gauge ourselves that way this morning. We can gauge ourselves where our heart is at. So what kind of heart do we want this morning? You know, in the book of Revelations, we see that God removed the candlestick from some churches because of a heart condition. And, you know, I heard a preacher. He preaching in the seven churches of Asia not long ago. Brother Mark Miller in Ohio was preaching through, I don't know if he was preaching through a series or not, but he was preaching about the church at Pergamos, and it caught my attention. He was talking about the heart of Balaam. And he was talking about not to have that kind of heart. I'm going to read Revelations 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church at Pergamos write these things, saith he which had the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and I know where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and that thou holdest fast my name. Thou hast not denied my faith, even the days where Appius, my faithful martyr, was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have these few things against thee, because thou hast that where they hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So have thee also them things that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Repent, or I will come unto you quickly, and I will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. And he that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To who that overcometh, I will give to eat the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in this stone a new name written, that no man knoweth, saying he that received it. That new heart, that new stone, I believe, is a new heart. God will give us a new heart this morning. We don't want a heart like Balaam. We all know the story. We know how Balaam, we know the donkey that talked. We know the donkey that seen the angel. You know, we see Balak here. He sends that message to Balaam to come over to where he was and to curse the Israelite people. He wanted Balaam to come over there and to curse the children of Israel, God's people. You know, when this request came to him, he said, if he comes and curse them, they're going to give him a lot of money. They're going to give him a lot of position. They're going to give him a lot of wealth. And Balaam looked what was offered to him. Balaam was looking at the things that was offered to him from Balak, and his heart wanted it. His heart wanted the things that was offered to him that was not from God. It was going to go curse the children of Israel. It's going to curse God's people. So that night he got on his knees and he prayed to God, and he asked God what he should do. And God told him not to go. God said, no, I don't want you to go. So he went back to Balak, and he told him that God said no. But the request kept coming. He didn't take no for an answer. The requests, they kept coming. So they kept asking him to come. And, you know, we see there's something in Balaam's heart that longed for the things that was not supposed to be there. It was longing for things that was not supposed to be in his heart. He was longing for the things that God didn't want him to have in his heart. He was longing for the things that God said no to. After asking the second time, God told him to go. And he had this problem. There he had the problem with the donkey, and he got mad at the donkey, and then he got off and he hit the donkey, and then he saw the angel. God was putting his guard up against him. He didn't want him to go, but Balaam was wanting to go his own way. He wanted to go his own way. So God led him. And when he got there, he looked over the children of Israel, and he blessed them because God told him to. He told Balak that God would not let him curse him, that he could only bless him. And that was the only reason he blessed him. Otherwise, he would have cursed him. He blessed him only because God wanted him to. Had God not stopped him, he would have cursed them. Down in his heart, Balaam was longing after the things of the world. He was longing after things that was not supposed to have there. Later on in that verse, it tells us what Balaam did. He taught Balak to cast a stumbling block in front of the children of Israel. He taught Balak how to seduce the children of Israel so that their hearts would turn far away from God and so that he could win them over. And as this result, and when he did that, he was still able to get his money. He was still able to get his position. He was still able to get the things that he wanted. He still got what he wanted. See, his heart was conditioned after his own way. His heart was conditioned after his own things. Way down in Balaam's heart, it was conditioned the wrong way. We don't see that in our life, do we? We would never do that. We'd never just go do what God told us not to do. We'd never do that. But what about shifting things around to get like Balaam did? What about shifting things around to get it to go our way? We can do that. We can do that at times. In closing here, we see what God said to the church there. He warned them that he was going to take the candlestick away from them if they did not repent. Is God telling us to repent this morning? What's God telling us? Thank you for listening. I think I'll end there. And I know it's a little early, but so, bless you.